Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We're starting a series today titled this, He Was, I Am. Talking about all that Jesus was, all that He did in His death, burial, and resurrection, all that He revealed of the Father, and what that results in me being today. Today we're going to talk about He was love, therefore I am accepted. And I want to talk to you about how that works in everyday life stuff, how this works tomorrow morning when you get up. Guys, if what you learn about God isn't applicable to tomorrow morning or the ride home, then really it becomes just religion. It becomes just punch the religious ticket and go on. Walking with God is relevant to everyday life. How many of you know God cares about everyday life stuff? Jesus said He's numbered the hairs on your head. He cares about you intimately. The problem I find sometimes with church is that it doesn't reflect who Jesus is. Now, I'm not saying that critically. You know, I'm a pastor. I love church. And I don't mean that to be critical. But the truth of it is this, is very often church doesn't reflect who Jesus is. And often people will pass by a church. They'll never even think about coming to church. They'll push away from God because they have assumptions about God that have been religiously put in them and not according to the Scripture. And certainly not according to who Jesus is. He was love. He was the revelation of God in the flesh. He was the Word made flesh. The Bible said God is love. Jesus was love made flesh. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you'll watch the ministry of Jesus, you'll see the very personification of love. Now, you'll find that church is a lot like going to a movie for people. How many of you go to movies? And now it's tough to find one that's decent to watch. But you know, Michelle and I, every once in a while, we'll go out to a movie together and find one decent to watch. But a lot of times we'll be at home and our kids are all different places and farmed out or wherever they go. And we're home alone. And we're in our home clothes. How many of y'all know what home clothes are? Now, I've got some home clothes that Michelle's not happy about, but she loves me enough. She tolerates them. I've got shorts that I've been wearing and wearing out for about 15 years. I'm not exaggerating. They're awesome. They're kind of falling apart, but it's taken 15 years. I've got shirts that are so threadbare, you can read the paper through them. Now, my wife and my daughter steal my shirts. Okay, so it's just wrong. I said, look, I've got like five things in the world I want to wear. Don't touch the five. But Michelle, because she was probably tired, I don't know, 15 years of seeing me in the same three short pair of shorts, two are the same color. Any guys like me, you go out and sign, find something you like, just buy five of them. Different colors, just wear the same thing. And it takes me sometimes, you know, a while to make it comfortable. So last Christmas, Michelle bought me a pair of pajama bottoms that she said, why don't you wear these around the house? Because at least, you know, I guess she wanted to look at my chicken legs. I don't know. She's like, just put these on, you know. So I put them on, and they were real long. I put them on. It's Christmas morning, and I'm walking around, and my new, I feel like I'm dressed up, man. And they're really long, though. She said, well, you know, I'll take them back and get you a different size. Well, while she was, I cut off the bottoms. Let's make them comfortable right off the bat. She said, look what you did to those. I said, but they feel better now because they're kind of nasty looking. When you go, listen, so sometimes we'll be ready. We're going to go out and Michelle will look at me or sometimes I'll at her and say, you really want to go? She said, well, I do if you do. And we could just hang out. We're in home clothes. Let's just stay here. But when we finally get off the home clothes and put on the other stuff, you know, that, you know, it isn't as comfortable. You go out and you go to the movie. You buy your $19 popcorn. And the movie stinks. They spend $40 million, can't make a movie you want to watch. And you just feel cheated. Spent $19 on your popcorn, $200 to sit there. You're sitting in the room, and you're like, this was a lousy movie. I went through all this for this. And you look at each other, we should have stayed home. Just ate some stuff at home and just been comfortable. That's exactly how people feel about church. Why should I take off my home clothes? And go there. Nothing's going on there that's going to help me. Why do I want to go there? I can feel bad all by myself. I don't need help. And so people don't expect good from God. And that's why they don't even come to church. They wouldn't even think about it. Someone said, why don't you go to church? Well, I went once. Because it doesn't reflect who Jesus is. And it ends up being a bunch of this and that and this guy's rule and that girl's rule and all this stuff that's nothing to do with God's love for people. It is critically important that we understand something about God. He is love. Jesus is love made flesh. And because He is love, I am accepted by God. Now, people always get nervous when you talk about how good God is. And it's never the people that are hurting and broken. It's always the people who think they have it all together. Which, by the way, that's called deception. It's also another word called self-righteous. And they'll say, well, you better be careful about talking about how good God is. Because if you do, people will just have a license to sin. Look, I've been a pastor for 20 years. I've been in ministry for over 30. Let me tell you something about sin in people's lives. They will sin without a license. People just will sin. And the fact, though, the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's discovering how good God is that empowers you to turn your life around. It's not turning your life around that makes God good. It's the other way around. And when you find out how good He is, it leads you to turn your life around because you're running towards someone who's good. And religion has painted God in such a horrible way. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God would require something of you that He Himself would be unwilling to do? Of course not. Do you remember Peter when he said to Jesus, Lord, if my brother sins against me 7 times in one day, is it all right if I forgive? I'll forgive him 7 times. Is that cool? He didn't say cool, but that's my word. Circa 1970. But anyway, and Jesus said, no, Peter, it's not good at all. He said, make it 7 times 70. 490 times someone offends me in one day, I need to forgive them 490 times? Jesus said, yeah. He's trying to reveal the person of the goodness of God. He's trying to show the depths of the mercy of God. And Peter, you see, had been around Jesus. He had seen love displayed. So he thinks he's doing well, saying, look, after 7 times, I'll forgive. On the 8th, can I punch him in the mouth? I went 7. Jesus said 490 times in one day. Now, you know what that's for? Married people. Come on, I mean, you live together. You're together all the time. You can just tick each other off little ways 100 times a day if you let you. Sure you can. But why did Jesus reveal Himself? Would Jesus expect me to forgive somebody 490 times in one day and He not be as good or better? He's better than you are. He's gooder than you are. You're best, He's besterer. He is good. He's full of mercy. So yeah, but what about the judgment of God? Because people come all the time. See, religion is cruel. It is brutally cruel. It will make you think that God wants to punish you. Guys, if God wants to punish you, and people have said that to me through the years, I'm going through this and this, the Lord's just punishing me. Can I tell you something about the God that made the universe? He's going to punish you. There will be a spot left where you were. You don't have a bad day of God. The judgment of God, read the Old Testament. The earth opened up, swallowed and burped, and people went away. I'm telling you, under the old covenant, there was nothing to interrupt the judgment of God. Nothing. Because sin had to run its course, and God's righteous, and God's holy, and God's just, and sin demanded judgment. And there were times God would tolerate it, and His mercy. And then sin cried out for judgment, and the judgment of God would put an end and stop and put a curb to sin. That was the only thing to stop sin from absolutely destroying the whole world. And then, you see, because of the mercy of God, because of the judgment of God, God in His justice looked at man and said, they need judged. And so God came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And Jesus took upon Himself a body, the God-man, all God, all man, never sinned. But then He became the judgment for me. Isaiah chapter 53 says this. And this was written 700 years before Jesus. He said that God would make Jesus' soul an offering for my sin. All of the wrath of God that was due me, all of the holy judgment of God that was meet and met toward me, Jesus took and He nailed it to that cross. And He paid the debt that I could never pay. And now He says of us, tells us to do things that many Christians don't believe God would even do for them. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 43. He said, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the wicked and the good. He makes the rain to fall upon the upright and the wrongdoer alike. For if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Don't even tax collectors and sinners do that?" Jesus is simply getting across, look how good God wants you to. He said, don't recompense. When someone does you evil, give them good back. Don't you know that your Father doesn't just let the sun and the rain come on those that are good? He waters the whole earth for the just and the unjust. He doesn't have respect of saying, just because you're good and you're kind and you're a blessing and you serve God, I'll bless you, but I won't let the sunlight come upon those who don't. I won't let the rain benefit you. He's showing you, Jesus was showing a new kind of love. And He was showing that revelation that God is love, therefore there is an acceptance that was just not available to man before. And most people still live under the weight of feeling that God's against them. Religion will paint God as an unapproachable judge. It will paint God in such a manner as that He takes joy in the negative things that happen in your life. I don't mean once or twice, but I'm telling you hundreds of times through the years as I've dealt with people in very difficult situations, they believe they're in that situation because God's punishing them. They feel like this bad that's happening to me, God's finally gotten even with me. What a lie. Jesus said, Satan comes, the thief, to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life in abundance. If it steals, if it kills, if it destroys, it didn't come from God. It came from your enemy. And Jesus made the dividing line really, really simple. So much so that people believe their pain, they believe their problems are actually something God's doing. I've had people so twisted in the religion say to me horrible things happening in their life, saying, but I know God's good and He's brought it for a reason. Because you know the Bible says He won't put on you more than you can bear. That's not in the Bible. That's misquoting a scripture. The scripture said God will not permit you to be tested above that which you're able, but with the temptation make a way of escape. He didn't say God's testing you. He said when the test comes, He'll make a way of escape. And He won't permit the tempter to test you above that which you're able. How are you able? Because He's able in you. People take that verse and say this, God won't do more to you than you can bear. It doesn't say that at all. And if you think God's your problem, how are you going to walk with Him? How are you going to come to a God and feel a movement toward Him if you think any moment He's just going to go nuts on you, start beating you with a bat or something? Well, how about this one? Car accident. Well, you know, I know the Lord's ways are mysterious. What did He do? Cut your brakes? If I did that to your car, they'd put me in prison. But religion is so cruel what it does to people. God is not your problem. He is our answer. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Michelle and I love our three kids. They're not perfect, but we love them, man. Well, they're our kids. Can you imagine if, God forbid, one of our children got involved in something that caused them great distress and pain, wrongdoing that caused them to get so sick that they were hospitalized in an intensive care. And you heard about it. And we were at the hospital today. And we were with one of our kids because they made horrible choices. And those choices put them in the hospital. And they're hanging between life and death. What would you think if the report you got back was this? Well, John and Michelle, you know, their kid did A, B, and C. But you know what? They got even. They're happy about it because now they did wrong and now there's even. It's all balanced out. They made their bed hard. They're so happy their kid's getting to lie in it. You know that they should take the kids from us. And yet people do that very thing about God. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to pray. He didn't say, pray, Almighty God. He said, pray, Our Father. People get so religious. They try to, even when they talk about the things of God, they use weird voices, weird words, speak Elizabethan English. Do you know God pre-existed Elizabeth? Serious. Let's pray. Almighty God. We cometh unto thine presence. Hear thou us, O God. Don't you know he's just going, what? What did you eat? It's nonsense. He's your father. Well, let me tell you what would happen if our kid was in that situation. They could have been something so despicable that everybody forsakes them. Let me tell you two people that will never forsake them, their parents. We will be at the bedside that when the kid opens their eyes and they're so guilt-ridden and they want to give up in life and they just want to end life, say, no, 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 we don't go away. We will walk through fire with you. And if you get consumed, we'll get consumed with you. We love you. And our love doesn't let us leave the room. That's what God, that's how he loves his kids. And religion has painted him in such a way as to cause people not to believe that about God. And it's despicable. It is despicable to cause people to believe lies about a God who saw our sinful condition and judged us guilty and then went and paid the debt. That's why the scripture said God introduced his love to man when Christ died for the ungodly. It is so important that we understand Jesus was so kind to sinful, sin-stained and broken people. But he was ruthless with the religious and self-righteous. He called them whitewashed tombs, sepulchers. You stink on the inside, you clean the outside. You're like a tomb. You're full of death and extortion. Called them snakes and vipers. He went into the temple when the money changers were coming. People were coming from all over to make their sacrifices, and they would come to the temple. And there was nothing wrong with him exchanging money in the temple because they needed the currency of that place to be able to buy their sacrifices. But those in the temple, when they would get, they weren't giving an honest rate of exchange. So, in other words, let's say you were buying a turtle dove and you were poor, and you were going to offer that turtle dove in the offering of the sacrifices. And that turtle dove in your money, let's say, was about $1.50. Well, when you brought your currency, they would exchange it in such a way that it inflated it to where you were getting an unfair exchange and you were paying $5 or $6 for what should have cost you $1.50. And they were stealing from people in the name of God. Think of it. Stealing from people in the name of God. It's a horrible thing. Jesus went into that room and he started turning tables over. Now, he didn't go over to people and go, now listen, I'm going to turn the, watch your toes. One, two. He went into the room grabbing stuff and firing it over. Money flying everywhere. Then he grabbed a whip, started whipping on people. Get out of my house. You've made my father's house a den of thieves. This is the same guy, though, that went to a woman caught in the act of adultery and didn't condemn her. And then he told her this. Remember this about God. The goodness of God doesn't change his holiness. He didn't say to the woman, oh, that adultery thing you were in, no big deal. He said, a woman, he said, I don't condemn you. I love you, I restore you, and I lift you up off. She was down on the ground. He lifted her up. And then he said, go and sin no more. There's something about the goodness of God that will empower people to walk away from darkness. And it was the goodness of God that he revealed to her, that he had a confidence that he could tell her, now walk away from that lifestyle. Something about the power of God, and only the power of God, which will deliver the sin-stained soul. That's it. Do you know, in Jesus, the first person he revealed who he was Messiah to was a woman of Samaria. She went at the well of Samaria. And you remember what he said to her? Woman, where's your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you've answered well because you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. And he revealed himself as Messiah to that woman and sent her as a messenger into the city. And yet he went into the temple and he grabbed a whip. And he wasn't, you know, doing tricks with the whip. He was beating on people. Get out! Drove them out. They hated him for it. The religious crowd hated Jesus then. And by the way, they hate him now. He's not what people have called him to be. He was revealed in Scripture as a friend of sinners. Listen to what he said about himself in Matthew 11:19. I, the Son of Man, feast and drink, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of the worst sort of sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by what results from it. In other words, he said, the way I treat people, you're going to see the fruit of it. Look at Matthew 15:1-2. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. Listen, the scripture said, notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. I have a question. What is it about the teaching of Jesus that drew despicably wicked people that they wanted to hear him, but today they don't want to come around Christians? They don't want to come to church. Is it possible that church has become something different than who Jesus is? Church should be a place where you come as you are. I don't care what you're doing, who you're doing it with, and how long you've been doing it. But if you're willing to come into these doors and sit down and let God do something in your life, it may not happen in a weekend, it may not happen in a month, and it may not happen in a year. You say, well, how long are you willing to bear? Until you're dead. Keep coming and let God do something great in your life, and he can take you out of darkness and bring you into light. He can deliver you from things that your whole family, you have generations in that ditch. He'll get you out of it. And so often people will say, well, how long will you tolerate people with those kind of conditions in their life? As long as we'll tolerate you and me. It's amazing how easily we judge other people when their problems are different than ours. Go ahead and find somebody who shares your issue and concern and your weakness, and you'll have, well, you know, I understand that one, brother. Let me tell you something. Human beings are fallen, and they need a Savior, every one of us. I don't care if you're down and out, and I don't care if you're up and out. I don't care if you got 3 garage doors or 12 garage doors or no garage door at your house. Everyone needs a Savior. And the church ought to be a place, and I thank God this one is, and I thank God that you, and the way you walk with God in this place, lets it be that kind of place where people can come no matter what's going on in their life and let God do something great in their life. Because let me tell you something, religion never set one person free. Jesus said to the religious rulers, you put burdens upon people that you yourselves cannot bear, and then you don't lift a finger to remove that burden. And you make them twofold the children of hell. There is only one way to walk free. It's only one way to be complete, and it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Not the religious imposition, not the rules, not the restrictions that we try to impose on one another. If Christ doesn't set you free, you ain't getting set free. The Bible said, to whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. He makes men and women free. That's why in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says this, and you, that meaning us that are children of God, and you are complete through your union with Christ. He is the Lord over every ruler and authority in the universe. In essence, he's saying this, he is the ultimate authority of all authorities in the universe. And he said, and when you came to Christ, in him you are now complete. You have become accepted in the Beloved. God accepts you. He calls you to be his son and his daughter. He reveals his love to you. And he said, now come on, you're mine. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. Let me tell you about something. When you know you belong to God, it changes the way you live everyday life. It changes the way you see yourself. It changes the way you see people. If you don't, listen, guys, if you don't understand and have a revelation of the love of God in your life, it will affect your every relationship that's meaningful in your life. It will negatively impact your marriage. It will horribly impact your children. Because when you believe, you have to earn the goodness of God. Instead of understanding the only way you can walk with God is to know that he's good, then you will begin to impose on every other relationship that same burden. You will cause them to have to do things to get back in your favor. Now, I'm not talking about boundaries with addiction and other things that are extreme. You can love somebody and yet set boundaries. I understand that issue. But I'm talking about in your heart of hearts. If you have children and you have a tendency to give your kids the silent treatment because they've hurt your feelings or they've disappointed you, and you make them wait 3 or 4 days before they come back into your favor, what you're teaching your child is what you, I know what you believe about God if that's how you live. Because you think that's how God does you. Until you get 4 or 5 good days under your belt, then you really won't talk to God again because he doesn't want you in his presence and you're wrong. Can we agree on this? When we tell God about our stupidity, it's not when he found out. How many of you know God knew before you told him? Come quickly when you fail. Come quickly into his presence. He's there for you. He loves you. You know, we have 3 great kids, and we're very grateful. But I've noticed our son, who's a freshman in college, be home in about a month, freshman year over, we get him back for the summer. Jesus. I've noticed that when boys go to college, parents told me this would happen. They throw you in the rearview mirror when you're the parents. I mean, the boy, you try to talk to him, and it's, you know, when you talk to someone and they're tolerating you? Y'all know what I mean? We're on the phone, and it's like, yeah, yeah. And I go, well, yeah. Hey, my eyes are purple, and they're on fire, Ryan. They're bleeding. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. His mom will call, yeah, okay, I got to go. And she's like, what happened to my boy? And I'm like, yeah, that's what they say happens, baby. He's like, put us in the rearview mirror until the boy needs some money. Then I get the phone call, and it's a different voice. Hey, Dad. Hey, Rye, what's up? Oh, not too much. You having a good day? Yeah, I'm just walking between classes. That's cool. And I'll milk it while I got him, you know. And I just know it's coming. Oh, by the way, I've got to go to such and such. And I need, my children know that I'm not, I have a bunch of apps on my iPhone. They put them on there, my kids. I don't know what most of them do. There's one I know how to work. It's the PNC app. And no, I'm not kidding. They know how it works because, Dad, I'm on my way right now. I need gas. Can you go and transfer money into my account right now? Sure, Rye. I love you, honey. It's great talking to you. Love you, Dad. Bye. He said, well, don't you feel used? I was used. PNC, all my stuff, transfer funds. Done. Text him. All right, Rye, it's in there. Text back. Thanks. Next time I call him. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do? I keep transferring money. Why? He's my son. I love him so much more. We love him. You love your kids more than you can breathe, right? You love it more than your next breath. And so you pour your life out. Where do you think you got that from? You got that from a heavenly father that loves you. Not the same way, but greater. Greater. And he's more than willing to transfer some stuff to you. You say, but I don't deserve it. What my kids that deserve transferred funds, huh? I'd love to have someone to go. I'm calling Steve Moore from now on. Hey, Steve, get out your app. Transfer me some funds. I like that. There's something really cool about getting to be a kid and having parents to get you stuff. That growing up stuff, I'm not so, I don't know. I kind of like that, you know, make the phone call, get the money transfer thing. Your father loves you with an everlasting love. And until you have a revelation of that love, you're always going to be at an arm's distance from God. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 3 as we wind this down. Verse 1. How great is the love of the Father who has lavished on us. How great is the love of the Father that He's lavished His love on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And I can tell you this, and part of the reason the world does not know Him is because we don't act like Him. Because Christians have a tendency to reflect what they believe about God toward others. And again, I realize, I can hear it in people's minds. Yeah, but what about if people just keep doing wrong? You mean like you never do? Well, I mean really bad things. Oh, you mean the thing where you judge one sin more Oh, I see. So your sin is not as bad as this person's. Well, no, because they did. Are you kidding me? Compared to a righteous God, are you kidding me? It is all the mercy of God that any of us are able to stand in. And in fact, the Bible said without His mercy, we'd be consumed. His righteousness, His holiness would consume us. And yet the Bible said His judgment, His mercy rose up and boasted against His judgment. And Christ bore the penalty that was due me. And so when you gave your life to Christ, you became a child of the living God. Now you have every right to pick up the phone, as it were, and say, Daddy, I need a transfer. He said, but I had a bad week. Dad, I need a transfer. Because you know your Father's love. My son calls Mom and Dad when he needs stuff, not because he's deserved it, because we actually have told him time and time again, would you just please talk to us when we call you? It's within an hour of us getting one of those phone calls where we try to call him, he won't talk. We get back the call of, hey, Dad. You know what he has confidence in? The father and mother's love. And if I said no, you know what he'd do? He'd call his mother. John, did you tell Ryan that you wouldn't help him get gas money to go? Yeah, because he wouldn't talk to me. He said, I cannot believe. Steve, what would I get from Michelle with that? A what in the world John Nuzzo. When I get a what in the world from my wife, that's a bad day. I would get a what in the world is wrong with you? Get out that phone and transfer that right now to your son. And text him right now. What are you thinking? That's another one. What are you thinking? You get a what in the world, what are you thinking? That was bad. He know to call his mother. Because let me tell you something about God. He's not just a father. All in God is both mother and father. The nature of a woman, the nature of a man, they are wrapped up in our God. Man is made in his image, male and female. Every part of compassion you see in mom, you find in God. And every part of strength you'll see in dad, you'll see in God. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And I want to pray for you now that you'll believe that love. Because guys, it will change your everyday life. It will change the way you treat people. It will change the way you interact with people. Because you'll no longer put a burden on people that you believe God has put upon you. You'll freely receive and you will freely give to people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great grace that's upon every heart and upon every life. Thank you for your faithfulness. You are so good. Your kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness in our life. I ask you, Lord, to lift every person here under the sound of my voice. I don't care what they've done, how long they've done it. I thank you that you're good. I thank you that you're for them. You're not against them. And I ask you to lift them, no matter how they've come into this room. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to make certain that if you've come here today, and I'm talking to those of you who have already given your life to Christ, I want to make certain that you receive the love of God, that you lay down those religious lies and you leave this place expecting the goodness of God in your life. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, wherever they're at in this building, in the cafe, wherever they are, that they'll believe your love, that they'll give themselves over to you, that your goodness will lead them to turn in their life in the areas that will make their life better, the areas where your word declares there's a better way. And I pronounce that blessing over them, Lord. And I thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. I thank you that you're so good that we can't describe, we can't understand, we can't wrap our arms around the depths of your love. And I pray that over your people. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Before I give the invitation for those of you who have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, let me encourage you just very quickly about next weekend. Next weekend, we're going to be talking about He was the healer. I am restored. And I want to talk to you about the real power of God to heal our lives, both inside and out. What He can do in the realm of your emotions. How He can help restore things that have been broken through life. How He's the healer even of our bodies. You're going to hear a testimony next weekend of, I mean, God moving in somebody's life. I mean, it is a miraculous healing that God did. It is a phenomenal story. You don't want to miss it. And even tonight, at 6 o'clock, we're having our 101 class. It's the membership class here at Victory for Michelle and I share about the vision and mission of the church. Starts at 6 o'clock, registration 5:45. I want to encourage you, you can come, even if you didn't register. It's ideal if people register, but even if you don't, come anyway tonight. It starts at 6. We won't keep you here much more than an hour, about somewhere an hour and a half. Won't keep you much longer than that at all, and we'll feed you. Bring your kids. Registration, 5:45. Don't miss it if you haven't yet come. And no one has yet because it's the first one. All right? It's the 101 class starting tonight. And people have asked us again and again, so let me clarify. 101 is the first Sunday of every Sunday night of every month. This happens every month from now on. So if you miss this one, come to the next month. 201 the second month, Sunday, and so on. But let me pray for you now, those of you who may be here and don't know Christ. Those of you who say, I want to know a Savior. Because please understand this. You don't go to heaven because you try to be a good person. You don't go to heaven because you're a member of a church. Dear one, listen. No church can save you. No church can make you a Christian. None of them. There is salvation in no church and no church sacrament. There is no pastor, there is no priest, there is no religious figure that can make you right with God. That includes this church and this pastor. Only by receiving Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me one final time as we pray? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you, and I'll do it right where you're seated. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, please pray for me. Please include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart. And I will. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. And the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. Christ will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So right where you're at in your seat right now, if you'd say, Pastor, I don't know that if I died today, if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. Jesus died so that men and women could have eternal life and have an assurance that they're heaven bound because of the price that he paid and your decision to bow your knee and receive Jesus as the Savior of your life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to receive Christ into my life. I'm not certain that I've done that. Please include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. Right where you're seated right now, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you lift your hand up real high so I can see it? And I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hands everywhere. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, please include me with those who've raised their hand. Include me in that prayer. Just lift your hand real high right where you're seated, and we'll include you as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, honey. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. With your very own ears, Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. At the end of the service, in a moment, Pastor Steve will give you more information on how you can go the next step in following God. Things we can just give you, and they're free, that will help you go on with God. It is important that you learn how good God is and keep coming so you can learn about the goodness of God. But right now, you're making the best decision of your life. Pray this where you hear it, and the whole church will pray it out loud and together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.